Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. This is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and I am here with James Levesque. He's a podcaster, pastor, and author of the new book, Engaging Heaven Today. And we're going to talk about how he is helping people really bring heaven to earth, or really try to connect earth to what God is already doing in heaven. And James is a good friend of Charisma, and we are happy to be able to have this conversation with him because he's very involved in the move of God today. And so, James, welcome to the Charisma News Podcast.
Oh, man. Thank you, John. Love talking to you, buddy.
Absolutely, man. Let's just jump right into this. You know, your book, Engaging Heaven Today, actually kind of goes along with a podcast that you're doing, Engaging Heaven. And I really enjoy listening to it because you're adding on to what you've already written to, and you're putting it in a way that is very current. You know, you wrote this book earlier on, and there's an entry or a devotion for every day, but you're taking it even a step further and engaging with the audience by you're doing a daily podcast, which is amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge commitment to go alongside with this book. Let's just talk about how did this come about, and what was God speaking to you as you were getting this started?
Man, this really goes, and again, thanks for the opportunity. This really goes all the way back maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I love podcasts. You know, I listen to all different types of podcasts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was, I think I was listening to a sports podcast as I was getting my kids ready for school. And just, it was like really intimate in my ear. Like when he was speaking, I felt like it was so personal. And I had a thought, what if I started a podcast? Didn't think anybody'd listen to it. Mm-hmm. Bought some, you know, basic equipment, recorded, and thought it would just be for our churches. And it just kind of took off. And so before I joined the Charisma family, all those old episodes were able to get, I was shocked. A publishing company approached me and said, hey, can we take all those old episodes and put them in a book?
Wow.
And so that was launched, Engaging Heaven Today, off the podcast, which is in my podcast now, is Engage Heaven Today, but it's all the same. Mm-hmm. And the book is called Engaging Heaven Today. It was launched just maybe a couple months ago. And what I did recently on my daily podcast with Charisma, which is my only podcast right now, I'm going through it, and mm-hmm. I'm not just reading it, but I'm sharing whatever's going. It's really timely. You know, God loves really organizing these things. And so it seemed every time we hit a subject, it always seems to be something on the Lord's heart. I love the grace that God gives us for that. And so, yeah, Monday through Friday, you know, 5 days a week, we go through the podcast on the Charisma Network, and mm-hmm. we just share about 10 minutes what's on my heart, what the thought is, and pray with people. It's real. Devotion's a really powerful way
really
to connect
are.
With every day and start your day off right.
Yeah. And I give you a lot of respect for the fact that you're doing this every day. It's not just something you're doing like, okay, you're doing 5 in one day and then right. you're just kind of sitting back. You're so committed to this. You can listen to the latest episode and know that what was happening in our world today.
Oh yeah.
James is giving some sort of a spiritual context or a comment about that. And I was blown away whenever I started listening to it, thinking originally that this was just like something that you just did it as a batch and like you're putting out all these episodes and you just have them like lined up and ready to go. But no, you're committed to this and you're speaking not just what you've written a year or so ago, but you're connecting it to what God is doing today. What are some of the things that you've been like, wow, I can't believe that this is speaking about this issue right now. Like this, what I wrote a year ago happens to be on this day, and this is what God is doing in this world today. What are some of those things that have blown your mind?
Yeah, you know, it was amazing as we were going through even the, navigating the Ukraine and Russia, you know, mm-hmm. A lot of the podcasts had to do with just wars and rumors of wars that we're mm-hmm. living in the end times. And really, not just like, oh, we're in the end times, but what Jesus said, don't lose heart, endure to the end, you'll be saved. You know, all the things that he told us that we had as our benefit in these end times, you know, they all seem to kind of line up with culture and what's going on. You know, I feel like every day God has something to say to us. And I just, I want our podcast to be so close to that day. So we all can, it's as close as you get to a live show, but we all in real time, when I'm reading these devotionals, like we're doing it together that day. So like today's, I did this morning in my studio before I started our day here. And everybody, we almost feel like there's a connection, a family taking place. Imagine if Oswald Chambers was able every single day to just come on with us and tell us his thoughts as we're going through devotions together. Here's another thing you're not going to believe, bro. And it's just the way I'm wired. I know you're not wired this way. And I'm probably talking myself out of a job with Charisma and Media one day. I don't even read it, bro. I don't even read the devotionals. I hit it right as I'm reading it because I just want the thought to fly the minute I read that. And so I don't even know what the subject's going to be. When I hit record and I open that book, I'm reading it for the first time to you, and I'm sharing just what the Lord's given me off it. We're almost processing it together.
Wow.
And I find it so powerful that way.
So even though you've written it like a year or so ago, it's now you're reading it for the first time again without any prior knowledge of that, like planning, saying, oh, I'm going to think about this.
Sure.
You're really letting people into the mind and the spirit of James Levesque, which is a really cool thing as you're processing that. And listening to the couple episodes that I've been able to already, it's a great experience. It really is. And I definitely want to encourage people to check that out. But talking about getting into the mind and the spirit of James Levesque, could you just share a bit of your testimony? I know we could spend hours talking about what God's done, but could you just kind of give people a background of where you came from and how God brought you to where you are right now?
Yeah, you know, raised in really the projects, broken home neighborhood. Never knew my dad. He legit killed people. My mom was deaf. I was weird, bro. It's the most craziest story. She changed my name at 5 years old to protect me, my identity. And she gave me the name James Levesque. I actually don't have a dime of French in me. I would later be in Paris, which I'm going to be in next summer. I would be in Paris and they would tell me my name means James the Bishop. Levesque means the Bishop. And I was like, whoa, maybe God did give me that name, you know? On drugs, everything you can imagine, kid at a teenage years of my life. One day I was at my friend's house. We were high, messing around. I went to fall asleep in his living room on a recliner. His mom was there. The lights were dim. I didn't recognize her. Bible on her lap. She said, Jamie, I need to ask you a question. And I looked over, I didn't even see she was there. She said, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Fast forward, I went to church one night, so she would give me a ride to Six Flags. Testimony of a gang member that night at the church. I wondered, is God really real? Went to my mom's house that night. She was passed out drunk in front of me in the living room. I looked out the window. The cops were rolling by. I'm living in the projects. And I had a Bible. She gave me a Bible as I exited the car. And here was the thought I had. What if Jesus Christ was real, man? What if that gang member that got set free really was Jesus? You know what I'm saying? I didn't know who he was. I never read the Bible. I got kicked out of a couple of WANA programs when I was a kid because they would pick up all the kids in the inner city. And so I looked up to heaven, bro, with the Bible in front of me. I said, God, if you're real, it was curse laden. I didn't know who I was. But I said, let me tell you something. If you're real and you lived on this earth and you're touching people's lives, you're going to tell me. And I said, you better reveal yourself to me. And I'll give the rest of my life to tell people that you're real. It was like fire came right from heaven. Love hit the ground. Other tongues. My life was changed forever.
Wow.
And all I can tell you, man, is I got up off that floor and I was ruined, man. I was ruined for life. I wanted everyone to know about Jesus. It's still that way. It's not about me. It's all about him. And then it was just crazy. From there, it was just nonstop. Planting churches starting at 17. I've planted 40 churches, 70 nations, and I'm a high school dropout with no education, bro.
Wow.
And we continue to plant churches around the world and see God move. But man, don't underestimate encounter, man. When you encounter God and you meet him, everything changes.
Yep. That is remarkable, James. And I know your mother changed your name when you were 5 and she gave you the name Levesque. And that's kind of a crazy prophetic thing without her really realizing that. And I mean, in all intents and purposes, you are a bishop. I mean, that's amazing how God has done that, where you went from somebody that was totally far from God
Right.
I mean, you and I have talked before, and I know you started your first church by just basically telling homeless people that I'm your pastor now. And right. I just love how forward you are with that and how, like, you got a call of God on your life and you're not going to let anybody stop that from happening.
Right.
And that call of God has moved you from place to place. You started churches, you got people working with you, and now you're really all about bringing heaven to earth and engaging heaven, which is super, super cool. You were just talking before we got started here about some, you know, spiritual mentorship and parenting that you've been involved with, and how that's an important thing, specifically in the pursuit of holiness in the body of Christ. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, no doubt. I think there's clearly a fathering wound, not only in America, but a spiritual parenting wound.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing in my life, I've had such the benefit of being, let me tell you a quick story. I was saved in an Assembly of God church, didn't feel like I fit in, knew I wasn't going to play the ministry game. I couldn't, right? I mean, I had a kid at 16 years old, bro. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of high school. I felt the call of God on my life from that encounter. I was feeding the homeless, preaching the gospel. And when I quickly realized I wasn't going to fit a traditional denomination, I decided to do something. I wrote a guy. His name was Thomas Trask. He was the general superintendent of Assemblies of God. I wrote him a letter. I said, look, man, I've burned for God. I've been encountered. I've changed. The Lord changed my life. I'm preaching to people. Mm-hmm. I'm called to the ministry. What do you recommend? I'm not going to fit your Bible school. I'm not going to be able to go through all your steps. According to you, I'm not qualified. Why don't you tell me what I'm supposed to do? The dude wrote me back. I couldn't believe it. He wrote me a letter. He said, look, the call of God is on your life. I feel it in your letter. I know the hand of God is on you. And here's my recommendation. God's going to send you a spiritual parent, like a Paul to a Timothy. And at that moment, as I'm reading the letter, I see a vision of America, huge oak trees, small oak trees. And as I look closer across the map, where the big trees were alone, they started to die and rot away. Where the little trees were alone, they started to not even grow. And then where the trees were together, they flourished. The Lord said,
wow,
I'm going to merge the generations. And where the spiritual father, you're not a spiritual father if there's no sons. Mm-hmm. You're not a son if there's no, and I'm not talking about like you call somebody your spiritual dad you never met. God wants us to have spiritual fathers and mothers in our life. It was shortly after that vision, Brian Simmons came into my life. Of course, you know, he's organizing the call, right? New England, 60,000 young people, 4 days after 9/11. I wasn't there. But I'll tell you what, the minute God connected us, it opened my eyes to the need of fathering. Let me tell you, it's never been worse as today. Yeah. You have young people. You know, the bottom line is we've been singing about the love of God for 25 years. But there's a discipline of God, right? This is, he loves you and it'll chase you down. And his love is incredible. But at the end of the day, he disciplines those he loves. And
Absolutely.
What I realized is there's a younger generation, they don't want fathering or they want mentoring on their terms. As long as it's going good for you, we're connected. But the minute it gets inconvenience for you, and here's the problem. Christianity's not anything goes, John. It can't be whatever you want to do. I didn't write the book. There's a narrow road to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Or there's a broad one. And my concern is, especially in charismatic churches, we've broadened the road, right? You want to be a mega worship group? Let's broaden the road. You want to be a man of God that the whole world sees? The saints of old talked about a price. When I met with Reinhardt 3 weeks before he died, he talked about a price. And you know what he told me? I'm not the greatest ever. I'm the lowest ever. I'm nothing. I'm not ranked on a list. My list is when I see Jesus. That fabric doesn't exist on the earth. We have to have mothers and fathers more than ever before. There's a standard to live. And I like to say we can't let the recipe die with the prior generation.
Wow. So what does the first step need to be in seeking spiritual fathers and mothers or being a spiritual father and mother?
Sure. I think number one, we've got to draw near to God, right? Make our devotional life strong.
Right.
And look, there's a four-letter word we need to embrace, and it's called holy. Right? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a repentathon every service. I'm not talking about bashing you over the head, but we have to have a standard of holiness. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? You know what I mean? And I believe when your heart is pure, God will surround you with those mentors. It's not a forced thing. right? Mm-hmm. The more you grow with God. And you know what? If you get saved, it might be an elder or deacon. It might be a home group leader. It could be a pastor. As you grow, those mentors start to change and add on mm-hmm. to, right? Mm-hmm. There's never ones that are gone, but God will fulfill them. As I'm growing in levels of my faith and ministry and influence, God brings greater men of God as mentors to me, you know, and you start to grow. But we're not meant to do life without it, man. I really believe that. That's what, you know, Paul said, look, you have a lot of instructors. This whole earth is filled with pastors that are really just instructors, mm-hmm. but you don't have many fathers. Fathers aren't wanting you to look like them. Fathers aren't having you in their life on performance base only. Fathers mm-hmm. empower you to be you. But they also hold you to a standard. Moms, spiritual mothers, are you kidding me? I had a broken home. Mm-hmm. It was only spiritual fathers and mothers that sustained me in my life. Women that were like filled with the Holy Ghost at five. You know, I think of this woman named Georgiana. When I got saved and I didn't know where I was and I didn't fit in, this woman met me at a coffee shop. She said, son, you're going to preach the gospel, but you're also going to tithe and live right. And I'm not going to let you just get away with whatever. So I want to talk to you every week. I don't want you looking at girls. This woman, I didn't even know she was. And she was like, and she would say, there's a phrase my Ukrainian dad used to tell me, others may, you cannot. Mm-hmm. You are called for the ministry. I mean, I'm just going to say, we're off the streets. And she's telling me there's a standard. You're not doing what everybody else can because you're called to something greater. John is just missing, man. Mm. Today, it's what can he let me do? What can, you know, I see it in celebrities. I see it in celebrity Christianity. There's no checks or balances. And quite frankly with you, I've had celebrities in my life that I've been mentors over. Mm. And the minute I ended up being the voice that had standard, they fled to all the other celebrity pastors that would let them get away with stuff. Hmm. There's a way that seems right to a man, at least to death. We have to chase the narrow road.
Wow. So James, you've got a podcast, you're writing books, you're pastoring, but I can sense, you know, I know that this spiritual fathering is hot on your heart, and that's a huge thing. And it like, as you said, it comes to holiness. These people that you have been able to be a spiritual father to, I know as any dad, you know, as any dad is proud of his kids, his natural kids, you got to be proud of some of your spiritual kids. What are some of the things that you've seen them do that you're like, that's my boy?
Oh man. Well, let me just tell you, we couldn't pastor mm-hmm. all these churches if we didn't have incredible campus pastors. These are people that live life with us, that have walked with us through it all. You know, these are people, you know, I'm almost at a place because I planted churches so early that I see people come as children and now they're like interns in planting churches with us. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing greater to see, you know? I see people, I can introduce you to people today that have just really met the Lord and encountered him in the last 2 years. And now we're going to plant churches with them.
Wow.
I mean, they're coming in so hungry, so honoring, so loyal, so thirsty for God that the Lord's answering their cries, you know, and in all our campuses. We're in West Haven, Connecticut. We have a church, New London, Connecticut, Missoula, Montana. Those are just our brand. But I oversee like 20 plus more. Mm-hmm. These are all sons and daughters to a degree. Man, I'm not great, but I love people. I love being a big brother, a mentor. Yeah. I love being a voice to help people because in some ways, I had that, right? With Brian Simmons, I had a phone call. How do I navigate this, Pop? I call him Pop. He's my dad. How do I do this? Hey, this happened with a church member. I've never faced it before. You know, American Christianity really doesn't. The unity is a hard thing in the charismatic church. Everybody's kind of building their own kingdom. Everybody has walls up. And nobody wants to give the secrets to the recipes or, you know, pass it on to the next generation. And a lot of these men feel like, well, no one helped me. I'm not going to help nobody else. Mm. You know, it's why there's a natural wound on the earth, right? The boomers had to tough it up, and that was our parents. Mm-hmm. And now you get these millennials who their parents helicoptered them, and they never actually had to face difficulty. And so there's these weird dynamics that spill into the church.
Yeah.
And the truth is, going through problems help us in our faith, right? Mm-hmm. Going through trials. Not everybody gets a trophy, John. Sometimes we're just not good enough and we got to do better. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm totally with you there. And I know one of the themes that is really important for you, and I love this question that I've got here, is What is the difference between living a breakthrough life or looking for a breakthrough? Like there's living a breakthrough life and then just like trying to find a breakthrough moment. You talked about the different generations and how, you know, like the younger generation just wants trophies all the time, you know, like for just showing up. That's not part of a breakthrough. That's just attendance, you know, like that's not
absolutely
what, like, let's dive into that a little bit. Talk about breakthrough and how that can be a lifestyle.
Yeah. It's kind of connected to this internet world we live in. Right. I mean, you know, in some ways the currency of a generation is attention, right? How many likes, how many video views, how many, you know, what platform am I on? How am I being recognized? Well, the reality is if you chase that, you'll never have God in your life. Because the reality is, and there was an old book written years ago during the Toronto renewal. It was called An Audience of One. Mm. And I forgot who wrote it, maybe Jeremy Sinnott, but it was about having an audience of one. Like our devotion is him first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus grew in favor with God and man, but our whole generation seems to be chasing the favor with a person. If you get God's favor, John, I couldn't be here without God's favor. Mm-hmm. If I was trying to chase an interview with you, I'd never have anything in my life, but I got favor with God and let him be seen on my life. Mm-hmm. And then other people recognize it. Ordination's the same thing. People want to be ordained. What are we ordaining? There's not no ordaining. What the ordination is a confirmation of the ministry you're already walking in.
Yep.
It's not a degree telling you that you're a pastor now. You're not a pastor now. Mm-hmm. Being a pastor is somebody that is actually in the mud with the sheep, laying hands, meeting families, burying, marrying. That's a minister. You can't graduate a Bible school. We applaud. And then somehow you think you're anointed to be a powerful pastor. It doesn't work. We need education. Yes. But we can't chase accolades over God's favor.
Amen.
And that's what I see. Everybody's chasing. How do I get fame? You know, I have friends of mine that are very popular online. That machine flows. Mm-hmm. And the perception is everything is covering the perception. We don't have to cover perception. Jesus is enough. Mm-hmm. If we get favor with God, he'll give us favor with people. It's never changed. The people that I know that have shaped this world, think about it. You had moves of God like Toronto. You've had moves of God like Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. People on the earth, right? When there wasn't internet, right? There was a day that charisma with Tommy Tenney, they would put you on the front page of their magazine because the Lord led them to. Mm-hmm. It would trigger a move of God. You talk to these heroes of the faith. What did it? They didn't go viral. God moved in their building. Somebody in your network found out and said, wow, this is God. Let's tell the world about it.
Wow.
That's how you do it organically. Mm-hmm. We're not here trying to rub elbows, force an interview, manipulate, because when you get it, John, there's no substance. Mm. You can take anybody. You want fame and attention, that's all you got, because we didn't get blessed in it. Mm. So we have to stop chasing what we think breakthrough is and what we think is the, we got to just rest, abide in him. He said, abide in me, John 15, and you'll bear fruit. He didn't say strive. He didn't say get yourself known. He said, abide in me. So why isn't abiding the most important thing? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, why isn't the secret place where we walk out and go, man, we need more secret place, because it's not attractive. Secret place doesn't get me likes and follows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But secret place will open every door, and it'll give you baptizing families in the ocean. It'll give you a life worth meaning. Mm-hmm. And if God can put us, see what happened, 70 nations, John, I dropped out of high school. Literally, I don't have a GED and I don't take pride in it because I have honorary doctorates. But 70 nations, John. From a project kid that was on heroin at 14 that encountered God in my room. You can't make that up.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you can't machine that. You can't viral that video, right? Mm-hmm. When God wants to touch your life, people, if God gives you a message, you'll never need an invitation to preach. Amen. Sorry, that was long-winded, but I'm passionate about that.
I can tell you're passionate, and I love that. You know, it's so important, that secret place and abiding in him. You know, James, you're an influential person and you have a following, but you're not going after the following, you're going after the presence. When you're growing into that and you're seeing that you are getting some notoriety, you are getting people that are following you, how do you still focus on that audience of one, and how do you not get caught up in yourself?
Yeah. You know, I think a couple things, not to bring it back to the devotional, but private devotion's everything. You know what I mean? I think, and this is going to sound crazy, and any of you preachers watching, stay connected to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a prophet outside the body. I was with a worldwide evangelist this week. I mean, literally, there are nations after nations that he's transformed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said to me? I'm going to move to Florida to be with you. I want community. I want family.
Wow.
Like we're building something huge here. I have nothing to do with John. I just love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I do realize as people are encouraged by my life, I have a responsibility to encourage you. I want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just because I have a book and publishers want me to have a following. I love the people that follow me. I really do. And I try to give them a couple of videos throughout the week, just to encourage them, things on my heart. But if you don't forget, you know, John Wimber said, the way in is the way on. Man, we can't forget. At the end of all this, man, it's not about fame. It's about loving Jesus. I'm a son. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. And so if you can keep that aligned properly,
mm-hmm.
like it's never about me. What a lonely life if this was about me.
Yeah.
And I just think as a minister, we have an obligation to stay grounded to who we really are, right? I mean, I'm not changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same person. But if you're not careful, the Bible says in 1 John, all that's in the world, pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Right.
You keep your heart guarded for that
mm-hmm.
because it'll try to come in. And so I think if you Absolutely. Stay grounded in that, you'll be good.
Absolutely. You know, James, I don't want to wrap up this interview without asking you to do something here in just a moment. But earlier on in this, in our conversation here, you talked about people aren't willing to pay the price. And,
right.
you know, we're missing a lot of that. But, you know, before we can get to that place where we're realizing that we need to pay that price, you started your relationship with the Lord by asking this question, what if Jesus is real? And I want to ask you to really just share the gospel with that person right now that might be listening and saying, what if Jesus is real? What if there's more to what James is talking about? I just don't want to miss an opportunity to share the gospel right now.
100%. Absolutely. No, look, anybody watching this video, there's not by accident that you're watching. And I do want to ask you that question. You know, the Bible says that we write these things that you may know you have eternal life. So what does that mean? It's possible to know. If something happened to you today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? I'll tell you, I know that I know, not because I'm a pastor, but because I know the gospel. Here's the thing. Who's Jesus Christ to you? He's going to be one of three people, friends. He's going to be maybe an avatar, right? An emoji, a made-up character. Jesus Christ is going to be a good person, right? Muslims believe he's a good person. Or the third thing he's going to be is who he said he is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but through him. And that's the truth. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you'll be born again. Jesus was dying on a cross. There was a thief next to him. All he said was, Lord, remember me. Mm. And he made heaven. So what I want to do, if you're watching right now, you say, Pastor James, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Then today I want to pray so you 100% know that you are sure. If that's with you watching, I want to say a prayer. There's nothing magical in it. I just want to seal something in your heart as we pray. And I believe today will be a day that you will know that you're going to heaven. All right, stretch your hands with me, friends. And if you're praying with me and you're like, Pastor James, I want to know for certain that I'm going to heaven, pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, say it. Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord
come
Jesus.
Into my life.
Come into my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Cleanse me now.
Cleanse me now.
I receive you.
I receive you.
I love you.
I love you.
I repent for my sins.
I repent for my sins.
And I embrace your ways.
And I embrace your ways.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, you might wonder, is it that simple? It absolutely is. Plug yourself into a healthy church. If there's a way, John, that they can reach out to you, I'll give them a devotional. We'll bless them. I want to start. I have Bibles. We'll help you. I'm in Florida, but wherever you are, making a decision to follow Jesus is the greatest miracle on earth. And I'm so excited to pray with you today. So let us know. We love you guys. Welcome to the Kingdom family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for doing that. And that is such an important thing that we need to do, is we really need to engage heaven by engaging the body of Christ here on earth. So get plugged in, and we're going to do whatever we can to help you. We'll put links in the show description
or the
episode description here. Engagingheaven.com or jamesleveque.org. James, J-A-M-E-S, Levesque, L-E-V-E-S-Q-U-E.org. And those will be in the episode description here. But as we're wrapping up here, James, I just want to say thank you so much for what you're doing for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God, and the fact that you are so committed as a podcaster with us on the Charisma Podcast Network, that you're doing these 5 days a week, and you're seeing God do some amazing, amazing things as you're just putting your voice out there. And I love that you're going through it with the reader, with the listener, that this isn't something that you're, you wrote it a while ago, and now you're going through it again, and it's fresh, and God's bringing fresh revelation again, because he spoke to you originally, he's speaking to you again, and he's going to be speaking to the hearer as well. So I just want to encourage everybody to go check out his website and the resources that he has, engagingheaven.com, jamesleveque.org. And James, it's been a great pleasure and honor to have you on the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you, man. It's been an honor. We love our Charisma family, man.
This has been John Matarazzo for Charisma News. God bless you.